bu ba bu ba bum ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba bum.
Marzullo.
Thursday. I'm only back to doing it because Dave Marzullo needed to know what day it was.
Right.
He runs our total web presence here at WGN Radio, so I have to listen to him.
There is no place on the web where you can find out what day of the week it is. Don't even look. I tried. There's no mention of that anywhere on the web. Speaking of the web, yesterday it was made clear to me that there were two different videos that I could easily click on and watch, but I knew what I was going to see and hear and get. So on one of them, I couldn't. My wife, Terry, when she picked me up yesterday, she said, did you see the video of this girl trapped in the school in Mexico? And I said, I didn't. She goes, you got to watch the video. It's gut-wrenching.
And you knew you couldn't watch that video.
I've started to play it, and as my fingers are hitting the button, I go, I don't want to see this.
I totally get where you're coming from. This little hand coming up saying, you know, help me, help me.
Yeah.
I'm glad
buried
she
under the rubble
found.
In it's her just, school.
You hear these stories, and it's amazing to me that these children can survive that.
Yeah.
I know not a lot did.
Yeah.
It gives you hope.
One of the things I did watch, and I think today, because has she been rescued, or are they still trying to rescue her? Do we know? I don't know where that stands. One of the videos I did watch last night was people not at this site, but in another building site where the building had given way. So all these people in the town are gathered around there as they're trying to dig and find survivors underneath the rubble. And you just see people just sitting in the streets, just weeping. And, you know, they're hoping beyond hope that there's some way that somebody they know that was trapped could still be alive. And I never really thought about this, but it became apparent yesterday that there's a method that by which they do this. As they're digging for people, like, they dig for a while, and then they stop, and a couple of the foremen, they hold an arm up in the air as if to say to everybody in the area, don't make any noise at all. We need this to be perfectly quiet, because they're trying to find even the most faintest of noises, you know, in hopes that somebody's down there and they can find them. But I hadn't really thought about that. You know, a lot of the equipment they would use to dig deep is electrical equipment that would make a humming, roaring noise, but they can't have any of that. They need it to be as silent as they can possibly get it.
That little girl is still under the rubble.
She still is.
But they are close to rescuing her.
So their hope,
12-year-old
again,
girl.
Is that if this girl is still alive after all this, that there could be more people hopefully also alive that they can find and rescue. But, boy, it just when you see these buildings and the hit that they took, you don't know how that's possible.
What are the odds that this earthquake came exactly on the anniversary of a tragic one that happened on the same date? Did you hear that?
No, I
didn't.
That's
scary to me.
Also in Mexico or elsewhere?
Yes.
It did?
The last one they suffered, and I can't remember the year, happened on the exact same day.
That's
it's
terrible.
Just coincidence, I mean, but it's weird, a
right.
coincidence.
Right. Now, the other video that I did watch, although, you know, hard to watch for different reasons, was, did you see what happened at the Yankees-Twins game with the little girl?
No.
A guy on the Yankees, Todd Frazier, hits a ball down the third base side, just an incredibly hard line drive shot. Just he smacks it as hard as he can. And sitting where the ball ends up is a little girl who gets hit in the face with the baseball. And a lot of times when you see a foul ball, it's got some arc to it, so there's a little bit of time to react. There was no time to react. He just belted the ball, and it goes down the third base line. And it hits this really little girl in the face.
Oh, my God.
And all of Yankee Stadium grows silent, and Todd Frazier steps out of the batter's box for what seems to be 3 or 4 or 5 minutes and just keeps watching and watching and wants to know that the girl's okay. Players are all kind of gathered over. No, nobody said, come on, we got to hurry the game along. Come on. Everybody just takes their time to see what happens with this little girl, and what they ended up doing was they came and escorted her out with her family, and I don't know exactly where that ended up. As of last night, she was in the hospital, and they were doing tests on her. But you could see how guilty he felt. He wasn't meaning to hurt anybody. He was just trying to hit a baseball. And all the players, both on the bases and the guys that were playing the field, you see some of them look like they're about to cry because everybody's thinking, what if that was my kid? What would I do? Todd Frazier just felt, you could just see it in his eyes, like, Do I want to go up now and play baseball? This girl almost got killed by a ball I hit.
That's terrible.
I'm sure you noticed this. Once I was always sensitive to things like this, especially with kids. But once you have kids of your own,
everything changes.
It's hard to watch stuff, right?
And then you think, you know, if you're at a baseball game, you're there to have fun with your family. But if a ball comes and it's popped up, I still to this day kind of like look around and guard the kids.
Yeah.
But this happened so fast. It was.
There was no way to defense this. It happens in a second.
105 mile per hour foul ball.
I know.
Good God.
And it's an absolute, what they call a frozen rope. It's just a straight laser blast ball that just, I think, because you couldn't tell by the video, but it looks like it just hits her straight on, a lot like a line drive hit. Like there's nothing there to deflect it or block it except her face. You know, it's just awful.
What about the protective netting?
Well, that's really now being examined closer. For years and years and years, Major League Baseball has said we need to do something because, don't get me wrong, it doesn't happen often. It really doesn't.
It doesn't.
It happens very, very. When you think about the amount of pitches that are thrown in a baseball game, so you're looking at probably 250 pitches in a 9-inning game. So you multiply that by how many games in a day and how many games in a year. The odds of you getting hit in the face are very, very, very slim. But when it does happen, like it happened yesterday, then everybody goes, well, why isn't something being done about it? The best option, the best possible option is, and you see this more and more in modern stadiums, is the whole area behind the batter and from the batter to about the on-deck circle is either gated or netted in. But there's a lot of people say if you put nets beyond that, it obscures the view of the game, and it does to a little extent, but
it does.
A safety reason.
Because when I went to my one White Sox game this year and left early, sitting in those scout seats right behind home
plate.
They're
all protected.
Yeah, but I looked up and I wondered, had they always been like that? Because I don't recall that netting always being there. And Jim claims that, you know, behind home plate, it's been there for quite some time.
Right, but all right, so if you go back to Old Comiskey Park, right behind home plate, in I can't think of a baseball stadium I've ever seen where that area
it's always
directly
been.
Yeah, but then the question is beyond that, like from on deck circles on down the line, how much netting or fencing is put in, because people have said it really does, it makes the game harder to watch because there's a gate there, there's a net or a fence, but that's the trade-off, I guess, right?
And, of course, you want to say, is it worth it? But if you're the parent of this little girl, you say, yes, it's definitely worth it.
But if you read the back of a ticket, if you buy a sporting event ticket and read the fine print on the back, it clearly states that they're not responsible for any kind of, you know, I don't know if they call it an act of God on the back of the ticket, but things happen. I mean, guys are hitting baseballs at 100 miles an hour. There's going to be some residual effect. You know, you don't want it to be you. You don't want it to be your kid or somebody you care about. But the odds are every once in a while, somebody's going to get hit with a baseball. It's horrible, but it's true.
That's why I pay attention a lot at baseball games. Because really, the one time you're, you know, eating your hot dog or asking, you know, can I get another beer?
Yeah.
These things can happen. And it does happen so quickly.
It happens so quickly.
God, 105 miles per hour. Hits her right in the face.
And think about how hard a league baseball is. Yeah. Yeah. And this is just a little kid.
I can't find an update on how she's doing.
I hope she's okay.
I'm told because of the HIPAA Act, they can't release.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah. I was actually at a game, I mean, this was years ago, Ted Lilly. Do you remember him?
Yeah, former Cub pitcher.
Same thing happened. He hit a foul ball up into the second, you know, pavilion, hit a little girl or boy, and yeah, they went to the hospital.
I do give credit to everybody involved in the game, most notably Frazier, who, like I said, he's just trying to hit the baseball. He's trying to get a hit.
He didn't do anything.
No. But you could see how shaken up he was, and there was nobody trying to hurry the action along. You know, the umpire could say, all right.
Play ball.
We got a game to play. None of that happened, and I give everybody credit for that because it was a realization of this is way more important than what we're doing. I know it's America's pastime, but somebody's life could be at stake because of an errant baseball. So let's take a moment and make sure that that's as clean as it can be before we continue. I give them all credit for that.
That's odd in this day and age, because you'd think it'd be like, okay, we'll let you know how she is. Yeah. Baseball game continues.
And the stadium, for the most part, was so silent. You could see everybody just kind of, you know, pulling for this kid. On one of the videos, I found it on a couple different sports sites. There were some guys sitting near her who kept laughing during this, which I don't understand at all.
Well, did they know what happened? Because you say the whole ballpark became quiet. If I'm sitting in a seat where my vision's obscured, I wouldn't have known she got hit in the face.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. Yeah, let's give them the benefit of the doubt and say maybe that was the case. But even the guys calling the game, I don't remember who was calling the game in the account that I saw, but you could see even just in their severity, and they weren't talking much. They were just kind of letting the moment play out, which I guess is the right thing to do because you can't speculate yet.
And what do you say?
Yeah,
there's nothing to say.
Sums it up. Right, right. So I guess now the question is, almost like anything, whenever any, you know, like when a bridge collapses, everybody in the country goes, well, you know what we got to do now is we got to fix our bridges. We got to go from bridge to bridge and see what needs to be fixed. So now all the talk is, how will baseball react to this? What will they do to help protect the fans? But I have a feeling it's one of those things that'll be talked a lot about today, a little tomorrow, and then not at all by the weekend and beyond.
I agree with you.
You know,
I just, you know, can't imagine that happening to my kid being at a game.
Oh, yeah.
And then I would feel so guilty, like I could have done something. But
right.
It does move so quickly,
oh,
and
yeah.
You don't know where it's going until it gets there.
There have been so many games where I've been sitting in a certain place, and there will be a foul ball hit, and I'll go, well, that's nowhere near me, and it ends up being right by me. Or the opposite,
exactly.
Where you get ready to try to make a catch, and you go, well, it's 53 rows away from me. What was I thinking?
And it could happen really in any seat. Were these up close front seats?
No, these were just a little past third base, down the third base line, maybe 7 or 8 rows up.
Because I wonder if they could make some kind of thing where if you have small children, you have to sit in this certain number of row up.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because, I've seen people.
Complain. Somebody would say, that's not fair. I don't know how they'll fix this. This is all, I mean, unless you just honestly find some sort of a netting system that just covers almost the whole, I don't know if you'd need to even cover the whole thing because by the time it got deep into the outfield, there's
right.
more reaction time.
That's true.
You know,
it's not that obscuring to me, the netting behind home plate at Comiskey.
You get used to it quick. Like when you first sit down, you go, well, this is in the way.
Right.
And then by the first or second or third inning, you just don't even notice
you
it
don't.
Anymore.
So,
it takes a little while for your eye to play around with it a little bit.
Yeah. It never gets in the way, and it's just mesh netting. So
right.
It's not like, you know, there's a cedar fence
right.
in front of you.
Have you ever seen this? I see this more when I'm watching it on television than when I'm actually at the game. Somebody will swing at the ball, and it'll go straight back. Like, it'll be a foul tip that'll go straight back and hard. And the people sitting there, even though they know it's gated, they all flinch because that's your natural thing. Is if
that's your reaction.
Yeah. So they,
I've
but
done
they know
that.
There's never been a ball that's gone through the gate. So
well,
they know
never.
That.
It might happen.
It'd be tough. It'd be really tough.
Because it's not that small. The little mesh on it is not that small. I mean, I know a ball can't fit through it.
Right.
But I feel like there's some trajectory and some weird position that someday it's going to go through.
You would need a ball with scissors that quickly cut a hole in the mesh and then made its way through. But the odds of that.
Some pitchers have those specialized balls.
No, there are. No, I'm not going to say that's not true. Well, all I can say is I hope for nothing but the best from this girl. And Kevin, you're probably right. I can't imagine you not being right on this. The HIPAA laws would prevent any kind of word leaking out on exactly how.
But the family is definitely able to make a comment
right.
just so everyone knows.
Right. And then what do you do? Like, if you are the Yankees, there's no way to really make this right, is there? I mean, what could you possibly do, depending, and we don't know the degree yet of the severity of her injury, but you say to yourself, what? How do they make this right? There's no way.
Well, in the case of Ted Lilly, I remember reading about how he went and visited the kids in the hospital. I think
it's
like
a good move.
A fall or something.
It's
but,
a good move.
Yeah, I mean, there's only so much.
And it's not really their fault.
Right.
It really isn't.
I know
that's easy for me to say because it's not my kid who got hit.
No, but it's not.
All these lawsuits that come out, if they sue him, what are the charges?
Right, right. I always think about this. If I played professional baseball, and I played
you
for 8 years.
You do think about that a lot, don't you?
I'm thinking about it right now. What if I had a game against the Padres tonight at 7:10? What would I be doing right now? If I was a pitcher and I hit a batter, I would almost always apologize. Just because, like, in real life, you're trained if you do something that harms somebody else, you got to apologize.
They do.
So in baseball, hardly ever. Almost never. Like, I would go out of my way. If I hit a guy, I'd go, hey, just so you know, didn't mean it. You okay? What can I do? Would you like a razzle? I've got a box of razzles if you want some razzles. But no, they hardly ever do because it's part of the tough guy persona of sports. You should have got out of the way of that.
I've seen them, like, as they're changing innings, like, kind of go, sorry, buddy.
Sometimes it'll happen between innings as they're crossing right. on the field. But you hardly ever see a pitcher approach the batter going, can you give me a minute? And then they write out an apology and they hand him a card. Oh, this is so nice of you.
You know me. I would run up there and hug the batter yeah. and go, oh, my God, I am so sorry.
Yeah.
And you know I'm a sucky pitcher, so I'd be doing that a lot, and we'd be there forever.
The games would be 6 hours long.
Yeah, well,
that would be a long baseball game. No, you are. All right. We will take a break. We'll get some news for you, and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
I honestly thought she was going to say, it is hot as hell. Because it really is
it
so
is.
Sticky.
You can say that in the news, Judy.
No,
it's true.
It is hot as hell.
No one's going to call you out
on
that.
In my house anyway, it's not so bad outside yet. You know what I noticed yesterday, which was weird?
Huh.
The temperature kept going up.
Yeah, it did as the day progressed.
Yeah. So in the evening, it was 90.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I left. It was kind of weird.
It was weird because usually it cools down just a little at night, but no.
Get those shorts back out, people.
It's time.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Are you still wearing shorts?
Yeah, I'm wearing shorts right now.
Keep wearing those shorts, people.
You wear them till what, November?
Till, usually I wear them through, No, sometime in November I'll switch over. You'll see.
I never see his legs, so yeah. It's like the Anchorman
no.
thing. I only see his...
My upper torso.
Your, his upper torso.
Yeah. My lower torso
as well
has
as yours,
website
Wendy.
Now.
I'm not wearing pants, so it's a good
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, how about that?
Dude, I used Shoshana. To always wear shorts when I used to do the news in college.
Did you?
On TV, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I bet some
anchor
people.
And one time, I wore my top inside out, and I didn't notice.
I hate
when that
happens.
It was college. I had really late nights, and then I had to go to work. Yeah.
Do you think some anchor people have, on occasion, you know, if they're only being shown from the waist up, maybe they have worn shorts or
absolutely got gym shoes on or no shoes. Yeah. Now it's the new thing is to show, you know, especially women, to show their whole body.
Yeah.
So they sit at chairs and chairs now without desks.
Oh.
So you can see their legs.
Their gams.
Their gams.
That's exactly. What they call them now.
Yeah. That's gams. What it's all about in the news world.
Yep. Who's
don't
got the best
you know what,
legs.
Don't get me started.
But you watch WGN Morning News on TV and they get up and walk around a lot. So
they have to be fully clothed. Fully clothed, exactly.
Right.
No half clothing there.
Floyd Calber never wore pants, ever. Just a loincloth.
I don't want to know about that.
It's in his
a
book.
Loincloth.
You can't stay with us?
I can't. I'm sorry.
All right. Was it because of what I just said about Floyd Calber?
Maybe.
That's
possibly.
Fine. Whatever.
See you tomorrow.
Bye,
thank you, Judy. I purchased some smart water this morning, and I got to be honest with you, I think I feel dumber today.
Then you can sue them and make your money back.
I didn't know what was in it other than there are, it's made from clouds. The water comes from clouds. I don't know how they harvest it. And they want to.
Does it say that on the bottle?
Yes, it says purity you can taste, hydration you can feel. Clouds get a bad rap. They are the unsung heroes because they contain nature's purest source of water.
Yeah.
That's why we copied our puffy white friends to create pure vapor distilled smart water. But we won up the clouds by adding electrolytes. It's a difference you can taste unless you like the taste of stuff that comes from underground, like spring water. I don't know the difference. I just know that this was all they had cold at the gas station that I stopped in this morning.
Yeah.
So I bought smart water.
Yeah.
Doesn't taste any different, and I feel dumber today.
I'm not a fan. I've been drinking a lot of water. I mean, it's the healthiest drink there is, right? But I don't believe in any of the myths that you hear about bottled water, about how much better it is for you. It just seems like, to me, somebody somewhere has a sink, and they turn it on, and they put a bottle underneath it, and then they twist the cap, and then they sell it to you at a much, much, much higher rate.
But that's the only way I'll drink it.
Is out of a bottle from...
From anywhere. From I don't anywhere? Really care the brand. I like Fiji, because that little girl's got this sweet little voice. It's made from the pure spring waters of Fiji.
Yeah.
She just sounds so
she's Fijian
and trusting.
You know the show that Penn and Teller had? I don't think it's on anymore.
BS?
Yeah. So one of the shows they did was The Truths About Bottled Water. It's one of the episodes I liked the most. And the nutritional value, almost everything was identical and sometimes not as good as tap water. The only difference is tap water is fairly inexpensive and bottled water is really expensive.
I know, and I know you're paying for the convenience, but honestly, if I'm at home, unless I'd have a glass of water every morning when I take my healthy Trinity.
Yeah.
That's the only time I use
That's
tap
it.
Water. And other than that, we have bottled water that I just grab because it's portable. You can bring it around with you.
Yeah.
There's a lid on it. I don't want to spill anything on the control board.
Right.
So I just like to have a bottle of water.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't go. I guess you can't go wrong. It's just the markup is insane.
Yeah. I don't
That's
even know.
That's the only part.
The good news is I didn't have to pay tax on this.
Oh, yeah. Right. Right. It's exempt. In our bathroom, in our master bathroom, the way our sink is, it's not just like forever. I guess most people just have the kind that you turn on and then the water is close to the bowl of the sink and it just came down. But you have the option now of having like almost like a fountain-y thing like
you
we
have
do.
A fountain in your bathroom?
It's not a full on fountain, but it,
is there
the
a little
piping goes up for a while before it twists off. So there's plenty of room if a guy like me wanted to stick his head underneath and get some cold water out of there and drink it that way, they could. And I do because it's really cold.
So the faucet is just taller.
Yeah, it goes up and then curves back down.
Yeah, but it's not a fountain.
It's not a fountain, but it's like, it gives you space.
Like right.
I don't know if you just didn't have the option or it was just everywhere I ever went as a kid. You couldn't stick your head underneath there. There was no room for
Although
that.
Although I tried every morning.
Did you?
Every morning. But I know what you mean. The older faucets, there's not a lot of room between the drain and the faucet.
Yeah.
Now there's a
now
lot
there's
of room.
8 extra inches.
You get a bigger faucet.
Yeah. Yeah.
You made it sound like you had a fountain.
I don't have a fountain. I wish I did. If I had married Liza Minnelli, I imagine we would have had a fountain in our bathroom. Biggest mistake I ever made. So for some reason, the water there is the coldest water in our house.
Is it really?
Yeah, and I don't know why it is. Like, if you go down to the kitchen and put the water at its coldest, it's kind of cold, or downstairs, it's kind of cold. But in that particular bathroom, the water just comes out so cold. It's like the best water.
Do you let it run for a while?
Nope, just almost immediately.
They say you're supposed to let it run for a while because there's sediments.
Yeah, I know that.
You don't?
My system's already so full of sediments and carbon.
All right, well, I found something, how to make you appear smarter. And
finally.
I thought we could use the help.
Let's see how we do.
But the smart water doesn't work. That's not on the list.
No.
Dress for success.
I already do. When do you have a phone call? Can I get back to you?
That doesn't make you look smart.
I know.
This one should be no surprise. Extensive research shows that how you dress affects how people see you. So we are not looked upon as being very smart.
I don't think
we're very casual, but it's radio, for gosh sakes.
Right.
I think you guys are smart.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Kevin.
You look very smart today,
Wendy. Very nice.
Thank you.
Kevin wants something.
I know.
I don't know what, but.
All right. So dress for success. Keep pace with the crowd. This makes you appear smarter.
Keep pace with the crowd, literally or figuratively?
Research conducted at Boston University shows this to be true. It's called the time scale bias, and it refers to our tendency to attribute greater intelligence based on mental attributes like consciousness, awareness, and intention to people who do things at about the same speed as everyone else. If you want to look smarter, you need to stop dawdling, but you also need to stop scurrying around like some crazed robot.
So find the pace.
Yes, and then keep
follow that pace.
Yes.
All right.
I
wouldn't attribute that to being smarter, though. Would you?
No.
I think that one, cross that one off. That one's wrong.
All right. I love this one. Wear nerd glasses.
I would put that under myth more than anything.
You look way smarter when you put your crooked Walgreens readers on.
That's why I got them. My eyesight's perfect. I just want to. I want people to perceive me as being more book smart.
Kevin, every once in a while, will have his glasses on, and you look smarter those days.
Oh, really?
You look like Clark Kent when you do that.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
It's a good look.
Okay. Yeah, it's a very good look.
I just, contacts are a pain.
Mm-hmm.
Research shows that people wearing glasses, especially thick, full-framed ones, are perceived as being more intelligent.
Now, I think if you asked a lot of guys if they are attracted to a girl in, like, librarian-type glasses, they would tell you yes. Don't you?
Well, that's a fantasy.
Yeah, it is. A librarian fantasy about the Dewey Decimal System.
Why do people have that? Is it because librarians, which are not like this anymore, but they always appeared to be very reserved, so you wanted to be the one to bring the animal out in the librarian?
I think it probably, yes. I think probably that's part of it. But I remember, like, in talks with guy friends over the years, at some point, some guy will mention, yeah, she's got that kind of sexy librarian look, which is, it's two words that almost don't naturally come together. If you're a librarian listening, I'm not here to besmirch you, but when you're thinking of sexy and thinking of librarian, sometimes there's a fork in that road.
I don't think so much anymore.
Not anymore. Today's librarians.
Hubba hubba.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, there's another one. Look them in the eye. These are ways to, from Forbes.com, ways for you to appear smarter. Look them in the eye. We know we're supposed to do this anyway. It's good manners, right? That's true, but it also makes you look smarter. In a study conducted at Loyola University, participants who intentionally managed their eye contact scored significantly higher on perceived intelligence.
Oh, really? Please explain.
I don't have anything other than I like when people look me in the eye. If I'm talking to someone and their eyes are darting all over the place, I feel like they're uncomfortable, like I'm keeping them from something, but like maybe they're lying to me.
But do you ever attribute that to their intelligence or just how nervous they are about something? What do you, when you see somebody doing that, carrying on a conversation with you and they're not making eye contact, I never think that has to do with intelligence. I always say to myself, this person just has some kind of a nervous disorder. I travel in some very ritzy circles, Wendy, just so you know.
I don't know. Kevin, do you think that makes you look smart? I just am thinking when we're in meetings with the top brass here and they're looking right at you, I feel like maybe they are smarter than me at that moment. I guess I do.
I think it can come off kind of intense sometimes, though. Like if it's over, maybe I just get in my head, but I'm like, should I be blinking? Should I not blink? Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I overthink it a bit.
If you're thinking about your blinking and how often you should blink, you are overthinking it. I don't want to blink too fast. I don't want to blink too slow. What's the pacing on his blinking? I want to match it.
Sometimes it just feels like they're staring into your soul, you know, and it's just...
I don't like it. I like when people break their glance.
Yeah, I think you should. Whatever feels natural, though. I think people, you know, coming from a guy who overthinks, people overthink too much.
I know, but if you're at a job interview, you don't want to look away because then you appear to look shifty of some sort.
Oh, yeah. That's true, too.
And I, you know, Bill likes to do the staring contest, and he actually has a trick where he doesn't look at your eyes.
Yeah. And then I also do the thing where I can make one of my eyes kind of tilty, like not quite to the Marty Feldman extent, but I can look like straight forward with one eye.
Oh, yeah, you can. That's really...
the other one.
That makes you look intelligent.
Yeah. That's why I do it. And I fall off a lot of train platforms, too.
But then, if you were looking at me like that, which eye do I look into, then?
You put the pressure on the other person when you do that. That's the beauty of that
You
maneuver.
Like to gain control over people.
I gain control by looking like Marty Feldman.
Kevin, if that ever happens and someone does have an eye, a wandering eye, Bill has taught me you stare at the spot right in between their eyebrows.
Right.
So it looks like you're looking them in the eye.
But see, I think that it can only work at a certain distance. If you're like talking close with someone, it's going to be pretty obvious that you're staring in between.
No, it's
really?
Not.
No.
It really isn't.
Well, how close? I'm not talking
with
Sarah.
Just say there's a person that's interviewing you and they have one of the lazy eyes and they're a really close talker, then you're just doomed no matter what.
I think you can get by.
I've done it.
He does it a lot. And I'm like, are you looking at me? He's like, nope.
I'll ask them, which eye do you prefer that I focus on? Because that's better, because then they go, let's go with the left one. All right.
All right, I have another one.
These are things that will make you appear to be smarter, right?
Kevin, Bill has something for you. It's a briefcase to make you look smarter.
Yeah.
Speak expressively. I'm screwed there.
Why? You speak expressively.
Communication expert Leonard Maldonau makes the case that even if two people say exactly the same thing, the one who says it most expressively will be perceived as being smarter.
Oh, that's interesting. I wonder if that's true.
I don't know if that makes you look smarter. It just makes you look more enthusiastic and a lover of life.
So Yeah.
If two speakers utter exactly the same words, but one speaks a little faster and louder and with fewer pauses and greater variation in volume, that speaker will be judged to be more energetic, knowledgeable, and intelligent. If you want to come across as more intelligent, modulate your speech by varying your pitch, your volume, your speed, and your energy level.
Mm. That would make me dizzy. That'd be too much. I don't know that I would perceive that person as being smarter. I would just think they're more passionate.
I do. I agree with you because, like, think of going back to high school or college, and you have a professor who's kind of monotonous. I'm thinking Ben Stein for some reason.
Right.
He is so smart.
Yeah.
For some reason, a monotone voice, I don't know why, but that makes me think they're smarter.
Hmm.
Because they've spent more time studying than...
Right. Than being
social.
Right. Yeah, I understand that. Yeah, there's something to that, I guess.
All right, again, this is Forbes.com. These are guaranteed ways to make you appear smarter than you are.
But look at news people. Like when news people are delivering the news, Walter Cronkite for a time was considered to be the most trusted man in America, Walter Cronkite. But he wouldn't go out of his way to really overemphasize it. He would just kind of read it just kind of straight ahead. You know,
that's how it was.
That's
back
the
then.
News, and he wasn't trying to be sing-songy with it or anything.
That was the original radio and television announcer and broadcaster, where they spoke like this and didn't deviate because they were not supposed to have an opinion.
Yeah,
and that way, if they kept their voice just the same all the time, they wouldn't be showing any favoritism to anything.
Oh, I guess so.
That's, I mean, think back, all of them. I'm Floyd Calber.
Right.
I'm
Faye Heathen. I'm not wearing pants.
I forgot
that's why
he
Judy
was
left.
Up.
That's why she left.
These are ways to make you appear smarter. Write simply. Now, I like this one. If you're really smart, you shouldn't have to use big words to broadcast it. My vocabulary is not very good.
Hmm? Is that true?
It really isn't. I would like to get one of those word-a-day calendars.
But then it seems showy when you throw in a word all of a sudden.
And that's what they're saying here. True intelligence speaks for itself, so you don't have to show off your impressive vocabulary. In addition, you always run the chance of being wrong.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing worse than that. Using a big word incorrectly makes you look not so smart.
Wendy, dictionary.com has an app, and there's always a word of the day.
Kevin has shared them. Is it the word of the day you tell me about
in the
morning?
Then,
or the thought of the day or something?
Yeah, so the guy that did the You Are Loved or You Are Beautiful thing, he also does that little calendar with a random blurb on it. And usually they're pretty bizarre.
Yeah.
And you share that with Bill every day?
I do, in the morning.
Almost every day.
It's such a bonding experience.
Not every day.
And then we hug.
Yeah. Here's what I have found about vocabulary. I'm always leery of people who use the word plethora, because that's the word that people who don't have a lot of vocabulary skills use as a way of saying, look, I can say words like plethora.
I love that word. I really do.
But you don't overuse it. Don't
no.
you know people who use it like every time you see them, at some point they say it and you go, you know, every other word you use was nothing like plethora, and then you pull plethora out. What's with that?
Well, I have a son who, I won't say which one because I don't want to point fingers.
No, older one or younger one?
I'm really not saying it could be either.
The one with the red hair or the other one?
they're both very smart, but this one is especially smart, and he reads a lot more than the other one.
Yeah.
And at one point, he said plethora. And I said, that's not how you say
it. It's part of a woman's body, I believe. Isn't it?
So today's word of the day.
My aunt had to go in because she was having problems with her plethora.
This is the part of the day. He sits me, cracks himself up, and then...
They gave her cranberry juice and Advil, and she's never been better.
You're very proud of yourself, aren't you? That does not make you look smart when you laugh at your own jokes.
Sorry. I have a plethora of problems, Wendy.
But I can see where that would happen. Somebody who reads a lot, you see that word, you know what it means. He could use it correctly, but he just didn't say it right.
Right.
And I think also subsequent was brought up, too.
Yeah.
I said, that is not how you say it.
When you look at it, you go, it should be said this way.
It
it's subsequent, but it's subsequent.
But plethora is like one of my favorite words. I very rarely use it, but I have a plethora of things in my refrigerator because I just went shopping.
But when you say it, don't you say to yourself, I'm trying too hard by saying this word.
That's what I was going to say. Like, that sounds like a word that you would use in a job interview.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, whenever I encounter people who say it, you could always see this spark in their eye like, oh, what's that big word I know? Oh, yeah, plethora. I'll use that right now.
I think that's the only big word I know.
But that's what I mean. It's like almost everybody who says plethora, that's the only big word they know. I'm having that word banned.
It's a good word.
Yeah. I'm talking to General Kelly after the show, see if we can get that word banned.
I have a plethora of uses for it. I really do.
That's like the one that comes with the kit. Like when you get a kit of how to speak gooder, they say plethora every once in a while. All right, I will. And I was kidding about my aunt. She didn't even have a plethora. Sadly. It's a sad story. I don't want to talk about it.
All right, so if you want to appear more intelligent, stop studying the dictionary and just focus on communicating effectively.
Yes.
I think that's good advice.
Solid advice.
I really do hate when people, like, whatever they're saying is peppered with these words that I have to go look up as they're speaking.
Yeah.
And then I feel stupid.
And yet, every once in a while, won't you see somebody, I'm trying to think of who Bill Maher had on his show a couple of weeks ago, that, like, almost every time they went to this guy, he had some word, and I go, well, I wish I knew what that meant. This guy's creaming it, because every time they go to him, he knows some word that I've never even heard of.
Well, my grandmother used to tell me if there was a word that you didn't know, go to the dictionary, look it up. And
yeah.
I have really tried to do that. If I'm reading something and come across a word,
yeah,
the old me would have just kind of went, whatever.
Right.
And worked past it.
But now you're getting better at that.
I just, you know, I feel like we can always be learning.
Oh, yeah.
Here's another way to make yourself appear smarter. Believe in yourself. I agree with this. Someone who's confident.
Yeah.
Even if they're bad at what they do, if they're confident,
right,
it just exudes this power and this intelligence.
But then you have to be careful, because you never want to be perceived as overly confident, because then you go into cocky territory.
There is a fine line.
Right? So confidence, good. Overconfidence, maybe not so good.
Nothing projects intelligence quite like confidence. When you believe in yourself, it shows, and research shows that believing in yourself improves your performance on cognitive tasks.
Mm-hmm.
Self-doubt, on the other hand, impairs your performance. Mr. Overthinks too much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I always tell you, we'll figure it out, right? That's
true.
I think.
What's worse is people who say, we'll figure it out. No. What's worse is that other people pick up on this doubt, which makes you appear less intelligent to them. If you want people to believe in you, you have to believe in yourself. I believe that if someone's trying to sell you something, or if someone's talking to you about something they really love,
mm-hmm,
if they're not selling it, if they're not confident in that thing, I'll be like, well, why would I try
that?
Yeah,
right, right. So you need some element of that.
But yeah, you're right. It could borderline cockiness.
You know how, I don't know when the last time you were on a job interview was, but you know how, like, you realized...
4 years ago.
Was it 4 years ago?
Coming here.
So think about that. Like, you had to go in and you had to show confidence, but then you say to yourself, I don't want to be overconfident, because that's a turnoff to people.
I know.
Right? So you have to find the sweet spot somehow.
Yeah, but see, it's really hard in a job interview, because that's really what you're supposed to do. And
I
interviewed with Jimmy DeCastro, so he's smart. He looked me right in the eye.
Yeah.
He used some big words.
He's the most confident person on the planet.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right.
So, you know, if I could make it through that interview, I could make it through anything.
I just held up a mirror when he interviewed me. Talk to the mirror.
No wonder you got hired.
Because the face ain't listening, I said. And he said, what does that mean? I said, I don't know. My aunt's having problems with her plethora. I have other problems. I can't talk to you.
Make graphs. That makes you appear smarter. I think you would be looking pretty dorky if you
walked.
Ross Perot, it works for him. Wow.
Here's a graph and a pie chart.
People are more likely to trust a source if it contains a graph, according to research conducted at Cornell.
Oh, I'm shocked to hear this. I didn't think graphs would enter into this conversation.
If you're presenting a report, they say 96% of the participants who read the report with a graph believed the claims, while only 67% of those who read the document without a graph thought the same.
Oh.
So if you have a presentation...
Always have a graph. When you do the graph...
You choose the graph.
I don't know what that means.
I think we have, these are ways to make you appear smarter than you are. Use a middle initial.
Yes.
That's wrong.
Really?
Although Sterling K. Brown.
There's plenty of examples of people who use
the
initial.
Some people don't have middle names, though.
You don't have a middle name?
My mom doesn't.
Really?
Yeah.
Then just pick any initial.
So how did that happen, Kevin?
I don't know. Is she just doomed to be dumb then? I mean,
No, your mom's not dumb at all.
I don't think so.
She should really get on her mom and dad to change that.
Well,
are they still around?
No.
Too late.
No.
Well, then you pick your own.
Yeah.
John F. Kennedy, Franklin D. Roosevelt, William W. Leff.
Bozo T. Clown. How about people who only use first and middle initials and then their last name? Doesn't it make them sound like they're from the 1880s?
Yeah, I don't like that. Because, like, I don't know if P.F. Chang was a person. What do I call him? P.F.?
Right.
I mean, really, right. Mr. Chang?
Right. J.K. Simmons. J.K. Rowling.
Do you call him Jay? Do you say J.K.?
You can call me Jay, or you can call me Jay, or you can call me K. Remember that guy, Billy Saluga?
Unfortunately, yes.
Billy R. Saluga.
All right, and I think we have one more. Ways to make you look smarter than you are. Skip that drink. And not just because people tend to do stupid things when they've been drinking, but a joint study conducted by the University of Michigan and the University of Pennsylvania revealed that even just seeing someone hold a drink is enough to make them seem less intelligent.
Oh, interesting.
It's not that we assume less intelligent people are more likely to drink. It's that the perceived correlation between drinking and cognitive impairment is so strong that we assume impairment even if it's not there. But think back to the old days when people had work meetings. Not so much now, but really in the days of
Mad Men.
You'd look funny if you didn't have a drink in your hand.
You had a place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you shocked that Kevin's mom doesn't have a middle name? I feel bad. Can we do something, Kevin?
Maybe somebody can donate one.
Let's have a GoFundMe page.
It seems like she was ripped off.
Yeah, she was ripped off. Yeah. She was. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then we'll close things up. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Wowie, wow, wow.
That's true. What you said is true. Wowie,
makes me sound smarter, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Who said that on TV?
Jeff Hoover.
Was it? Somebody from a sitcom, I thought, used to say that.
Mr. Roper?
No, I'll think of it. All right.
Bert from Soap?
No. Who was it? Somebody on TV used to say that, but I can't
think of it. That's the great mystery you need to solve by tomorrow, and I'm not here.
All right, that's my assignment for tomorrow. I'll figure out who used to say that. All right, thanks, everybody, for listening. Wendy is not here tomorrow. A mystery guest. Mystery to even us. We'll be joining us. You don't know who it is.
You're not kidding.
We'll find out when the door opens, when our mystery date comes through the door. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.